Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello, Patrick and Maureen and all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all those listeners. Thanks for everything you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a couple of announcements before we get going here. Just a friendly reminder that our annual In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament is just around the corner on October the 10th and will take place at the Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. We're excited for this year's event and look forward to having another wonderful outing and sharing in some great golf moments. Please email praise@inhissign.com. That's praise@inhissign.com to reserve your spot in the golf tournament. If you're unable to golf, please consider sponsoring a priest or donating a prize for the silent auction. For additional information as well as sponsorship opportunities, please visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. If you go to our website, inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there. It's got a brochure with all the information. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church, the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, is open from 9 a.m. until approximately 6 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Come on down and make a pilgrimage. Visit our shrine and the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. You won't be disappointed. If you are going to come down, get in touch with Father and I, and we can make arrangements to meet up with you when you come down. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Calyx and St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot,
pray for us.
St. Monica and St. Augustine,
pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, because when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If the Lord's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we would love to hear from you. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break. We are in the 23rd week in Ordinary Time. And last Sunday, Would have been St. Augustine if it hadn't been a Sunday. Monday the 29th, we celebrated the martyrdom or passion of St. John the Baptist. Yesterday the 30th, St. Jean Jagan. And on Saturday the 3rd coming up will be St. Gregory the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church. And so we thought we would talk about Monica and Augustine, a couple that are close to our hearts, especially in the recovery world. And then St. Jean Jagan, who Father had the privilege of getting to know real well as a result of having worked with the founder, or worked with the Little Sisters of the Poor, whose founder, of course, was St. Jean Jagan. So, St. Monica, St. Augustine, we celebrated back-to-back last Saturday and Sunday, and it's a family affair. I think early on when we knew about St. Augustine and some of his waywardness prior to him becoming a prior to his conversion, and then eventually becoming a not only a saint but a doctor of the church. And then we learned about his mother, and we always talked about his mother praying her son and her husband into the church, and not realizing that she herself may have had an issue with alcohol. She would go down to the wine cellar and take a sip, or and eventually maybe a little bit more than that, to the point where one of the maids had called her a wine bibber. So, and Father, you know, had come across the idea where Augustine had said that his mother had an alcohol problem and called it a disease, and the only solution was God. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Anyway, St. Monica lived in the 4th century. And she was married, had 8 kids. 4 of them died relatively young. Her husband was Patricius, and had a violent temper, was licentious, and her mother-in-law wasn't much better, and happened to live with them. And you know, Monica was aware as Augustine grew older. When he was 17, his father had died, and he became a rhetoric student in Carthage. Eventually, he would accept the Manichaean heresy, where he believed all flesh is evil, and really himself was living what might be called an immoral life. When he was 29, he decided he was going to go to Rome and teach rhetoric. Monica wanted to go with him, but one night he told his mother that he was going to the dock to say goodbye to a friend, and instead he got on a boat and headed for Rome, and left his mother heartbroken. She would arrive in Rome only to find out that he had left Rome and went to Milan, and Monica tried to find him in Milan. While there, Augustine came under the influence of a bishop, St. Ambrose, who also became Monica's spiritual director. Accepted his advice, had the humility to give up some practices that had become her second nature, and became a leader of the devout women in Milan, as she had been formerly in northern Africa, Tagaste, where she was. She would keep praying for Augustine, and even during his years of instruction. And then at Easter in the year 387, Ambrose baptized Augustine and a bunch of his friends. And soon after that, they left for Africa. Although nobody was aware of it, Monica knew her life was near the end, and she told Augustine, "Son, nothing in this world now affords me delight. I do not know what there is now left for me to do or why I am still here, all my hopes in this world being now fulfilled." And obviously her greatest hope that her son would convert to the faith. And like we said, not only did he convert, but he becomes a doctor of the church. And a great saint. So that's the story of Monica. Father, you want to start there, or you want to talk a little bit about Augustine first?
I think a little bit more about Monica, Ken.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to piggyback off you about, you know, her disease of alcoholism.
Yep.
Actually, it was one of she's one of our go-to saints for the Calix Society, and I had a little piece in the back of the book as the go-to saints. Title of the book, of course, The Story of the Calix Society, Catholic Spirituality for Addicted Persons. But actually, I came across this myself. I didn't even know that Monica was an alcoholic, really, or problem drinker. But it was in the Chalice newsletter, the Calyx newsletter, dated January, February 1984, and it was by a Reverend James Rudick, who was a Jesuit, and he wrote an article on St. Michael titled, St. Augustine Called Alcoholism a Disease. I mean, that's 1,600 years ago. So, yeah, Monica died three, this is the what was in the book, that was in the article from the Chalice. Monica died in 387, nearly six, or actually over 1,600 years ago. But when we read the account of her life and her son's confession, we realize that she has many lessons for us today. Let us look at her youth. Augustine relates that she was brought up in a Christian home. An elderly family housekeeper who regularly cared for Monica and her sisters used to teach them discipline so that later on they would not become overcome by the desire for wine, for alcohol. Augustine notes, however, that this training was not enough to protect his mother. She herself related to him that she took to the wine. She sent by her parents to the wine cellar to draw wine for the family. She would put the cup to her lips for a slight taste. It was not so much that she liked the wine, but youthful livelihood impelled her. However, day by day, she started to zip more and more wine until she would gulp down cupfuls at a time. And as her son comments, the admonitions of the wise servant were of no avail. Unquote, Augustine says, would anything have helped in the curing of this hidden disease but your medicine, O Lord? Unquote. Then Monica was helped in spite of herself. And it came about because a servant girl went into the wine cellar with her. One day, the girl called her young mistress a wine bibber. This so shocked Monica that, coming to herself and realizing the difficulties into which she had fallen, she condemned her actions and rejected them. Over 1,600 years ago, Ken, Augustine called alcoholism a disease, and the cure, he assured, the medicine of God. This remains true for all addicts today. Only God's medicine can bring about healing graces for addicts, especially through the sacraments of his church, what the Calyx Society is all about for addicts. Did you want to say anything else about the alcoholism of Monica, or I can say a few more things about her?
No, go ahead, Father.
Yeah, okay. Well, like you mentioned Patricius and the mother-in-law, and at the end, both of them converted to Catholicism because of her prayers. All three of them, Augustine, Patricius, and the mother-in-law, made her a saint. She was the cry of the heart. A lot of people say, oh, you know, she really prayed for two decades for her son. But it was really not only the prayers, but it was the tears and the fasting as well. She put it all together, and she helped to dispel the demons there. But Augustine really loved his mother. He talked about his mother. He said that my mother was a mother to everyone. That Monica went out helping everybody, not just her son. And but one of the dreams that Monica had, she was trying to get her son to convert and come back, you know, be baptized and all this. And she has a dream that she's on a beam in the midst of all the darkness, and the Lord is calling Augustine to get on the beam with her. And then after Monica told the dream to Augustine, you see, Mom, he said, God wants you on the beam with me in my religion, Manichaeism. And she said, no, the Lord said that you were on the beam with me. He didn't say I was on the beam with you. And that really hit Augustine, you know. But she hounded him everywhere, and she wouldn't give up. You know, she just kept praying and praying and praying. She loved her son. And, you know, of course, he's baptized. And I just wanted to really, I can read that with Augustine when we get to him. But at the end of her life, you know, she's far away, and she dies, you know, far from home. And the two brothers are thinking of where to bury her. And she says, bury my body wherever you will. But one thing I ask you, that you remember me at the altar of the Lord, wherever you may be. She was so focused on the altar her whole life, and so was Augustine. In fact, when Augustine was dying, He asked for the Mass to be celebrated at the foot of his bed, on his deathbed. But the Mass, the Eucharist, that's what the two were all about. But what I bring home from Monica, Ken, is really the power of prayer. You know, you just keep praying. Monica, she never got fed up, she never let up, and she never gave up on her son. And she cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I was just reading in the Cloud of Unknowing, when we try to really, forget the creatures of the world and kind of transcend ourselves just to God in love for God and God in love for us, and everything melts away, and we just kind of let the Father hold us close to Himself, where we're come from, where we're going, where we really belong. But in the Cloud of Unknowing, He was saying that when you try to do this in prayer, that there's going to be all kinds of distractions that are going to attack us, and even Satan himself. When we get closer to God, all these demons start to attack us, you know, and especially the devil. You know, he doesn't want us to get close to God. But he says when these things be happening, just take a little prayer word and just try to keep it as one syllable. And he says use the word like help or fire. And he said even, you know, we're in the midst of our sins, if you cry out to God, help, He's going to help you. And in the Cloud of Unknowing, the author says that you can have your worst enemy and you're walking by his house and there's a fire. You're going to run in there and try to help him. Or if he hollers, help, you want to go right to his assistant, even though he may be your worst enemy. And so the author of the Cloud of Unknowing is saying for us to pray from our heart, you know, just like Bill Montroy, just like Matt Talbot, Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. And Montroy with his conversion, help me, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. And the Lord came to their assistance. But the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I just wanted to end with this little humorous story about prayer. It was about a young woman falls in love with a young man, but he's a Protestant. So she goes to her family members and she says to her grandparents and her mom and dad, would you pray for John that he become a Catholic? So they said, yeah, we'll pray. So they start praying for John to become Catholic so they can have a Catholic wedding and everything would be okay. And they pray, and then she comes back. She says, keep praying. John is going to Sunday Mass with me now. It's working. And then another week later, keep praying. John wants to go to daily Mass every day with me now. Keep praying. The prayers are working. And then she came back, and she said, stop the prayers. Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Grandmom, stop the prayers. Well, why? Why? Well, John wants to be a priest. So the power of prayer, you know. Life is fragile. Handle it with prayer, like Monica, who prayed for not only her son, but her husband and her mother-in-law, and all three converted to Catholicism. Amen. Prayer. Keep praying.
Amen. And every prayer gets answered, right? And
oh yeah.
It can be yes, no, in a little while, and heck no, or yes, maybe. In a little while, where heck no.
Or it was, well, prayer.
Or are you kidding me?
Yes, no, wait a while, or are you kidding me?
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, as much as prayer gets answers, we really do need to watch what we pray for, because we just might get it. Yeah. Thank God I didn't get everything I prayed for.
Really?
You know,
sometimes we don't know what we're asking for.
That's right. That's right.
But, yeah, prayer, like St. Anthony always said, first of all, we must pray, and then keep praying.
Yeah.
Pray always, as the Scripture says. And how does one pray always? It certainly isn't verbal prayer or meditation. It's just that prayer of awareness of God's love, where our meditation and our verbal prayers lead into. Anyway.
Yeah.
Keep praying.
Amen. Amen.
Never lose heart.
No. And
God has an Achilles heel, Ken. He has a weakness. We keep shouting out to Him. I mean, we're His children. He comes running to our assistance.
Yeah, no, that's the story in Scripture, right, where the woman keeps after the judge all the time, and then she's so relentless that the judge finally gives in. And I think sooner or later God may get tired of hearing us and give in. And how many people have we met over the years that had mothers or fathers or grandparents, aunts and uncles that, you know, prayed them into recovery. And, you know, the, you know, and sometimes you hear the stories of, you know, people that finally, you know, get into recovery, but it's only after their parents have deceased or no longer here, and the remorse that they have because they know that they're, you know, they were being prayed for, that their parents were trying to, were praying for them to find recovery and didn't get the satisfaction of their prayers while they were alive. But you know that they're smiling down from heaven, you know, not only because they're with God, but because their prayers may have been answered. And, you know, they finally graced the doors of a 12-step program and started to get the help that they needed. So don't give up. You know, we say it all the time, right? As long as there's a breath, there's a hope. And right. it goes for all of them. We don't know when the miracle's going to happen, when the, you know, the grace that's being poured out upon them is finally going to be accepted and the, you know, the light bulb goes on and they, you know, meet the right person or encounter the person that's, you know, convinces them that there is a way out of the situation that they're in. So,
yeah.
And don't be afraid to say something and to offer the help. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned over the years. And the worst that can happen is they shun you or scream at you. And like, eh, so what? You can walk away. And that, you know, the response to that offer is not, you know, on us. It's the God's grace that needs to enter them and act on any suggestions or invitations that we give people for anything in life. And I think we're only responsible to make the invitation and, you know, maybe put ourselves out there a little bit and offer to help or offer a suggestion. If they take it, they take it, and if they don't, then we just keep praying for them and hope that, you know, sooner or later they, you know, wake up and realize that there is a solution to whatever their problems are, not just addiction, but anything in life.
Yeah, I was thinking what our Lord said, too, like when you say, you know, you're praying for them, they're not accepting it, and they turn on you and say bad things against you, and our Lord would say, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. Yeah.
So,
like you say, you just invite them and put out the word.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit takes it from there.
Amen. So, like I said, you can't talk about Monica without talking about Augustine, and we addressed him a little bit. He became a Christian at the age of 33, a priest at 36, and a bishop at 41. So, in just 8 short years, he goes from being the playboy to a bishop. And then eventually, you know, gets canonized and named a doctor of the church. You know, it was, like I said, he was instructed by Ambrose. And really God himself speaking to him in the scriptures is what, you know, redirected Augustine's love of life to a life of love. And, you know, it's interesting. He had to be a charismatic guy because, as mentioned before, when he was working with Ambrose and gets baptized, he brought a handful of friends with him, I guess through that study of rhetoric and being able to have the gift of gab and get people to tag along. So, I think that's about it. I mean, most people, what they've read about Augustine would come from his confessions. And, you know, like I said, he's you know, goes from being one of us out there doing his thing to a priest, bishop, and doctor of our church.
Yeah, Augustine. Well, there's so much to him, you know. You got the Augustinians, and what they say, he had so many titles. He was a philosopher, a theologian, a mystic, poet, writer, orator. He was a priest. He was a bishop. He was a saint. You know, and here's a guy, a great sinner, and you know, I remember Monsignor Carbine, Ken, in the seminary. He walked us through really the Confessions of Saint Augustine, and boy, they were powerful. And I just remember like having some doubts about priesthood and all. I'm saying, wow, this guy—he had a child outside of wedlock, a Diodatus. He called him the gift of God. He was filling himself with so much pride, you know, in different religions. He was anti-Catholic. I said, man, this guy becomes a saint, and I can become a priest, you know. But just a great man, you know, gives so much hope to so many people. And he was so proud-hearted. He said, I sought with pride, but only humility could make me find. Fool that I was, I left the nest, imagining myself able to fly, and I fell to the ground. But one thing, one of the greatest pieces of literature that I read, it comes from Augustine, and it shows his mysticism, too. But I just want to read that. But prior to that, this little piece, where late have I loved thee, that he speaks about, he said he was really searching and seeking for strength, that he needed to enjoy God himself. And he didn't find it until he embraced the mediator between God and men, Jesus Christ. And then he was calling me and saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he was offering the food, the Eucharist, which I lacked the strength to take. The food he had mingled with our flesh, for the Word became flesh with your wisdom, by which you created all things, Augustine said, that you might provide milk for us children. Boy, the Eucharist, way back there, he's speaking to you. But here's the mysticism that you see in Augustine. He writes, late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you. Yet, if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. You know, in that great quote that he says, you know, about mysticism, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. You know, and that's so true, Ken. You know, we're seeking fulfillment in all the wrong places. You know, we're looking for God, and, you know, I always say that the one who knocks on the brothel is looking for God. The drug addict is looking for God. The alcoholic's looking for, I'm looking for fulfillment. I want peace and joy in my heart. I want ecstasy, and looking in all the wrong places, and it can only be found in the Lord himself. But Augustine, you know, how his mother just went after him again and again and again, and finally he gets it, you know, and that turning point, Ken, that moment of truth is so powerful, you know, where he gets it. And I just wanted to really reread that, you know. He's in the garden, Augustine, and he's sitting there, and he hears, like, children's rhyme from children. And in the Latin, it's like, tolo lege, tolo lege, which means take and read, take and read. And there's a... the Romans, the letter Romans is nearby. So he opens it up at random. And this is what he reads. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly, as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity, and not in licentiousness, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. Make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. And this is a letter that he wrote to a Count Arius. He writes this, the caresses of this world are more dangerous than the persecutions. Isn't that something? The caresses of the world. What are the caresses? It's what he's talking about. The desires of the flesh. All these addictions that we have. Food, drink, alcohol, you know, cigarettes, sexual, you know, encounters, illicit. That these caresses are far more dangerous than persecutions. And we're blinded, like Augustine was blinded. But then he saw. The Lord flashed, shouted in his deafness. He panted, and he wanted more, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And, you know, always go back to that line you mentioned where, you know, our souls are restless until they rest in God. And that's why even people that we see that are trying to, you know, change their lives and recover from addiction, and but don't have the God thing, if you will. And to watch them finally come around and realize that it's God that's going to help them to cope with everything in their life, not just their addiction. And then when that light bulb goes on, that's when they start to experience some of God's peace and God's serenity. That brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. The phone number's here if you want to call in with your Is That Odd or Is That God story. 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to thank everybody for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayers and your financial support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years now. So please continue to do what you can. We certainly appreciate it here. And I got a text message from somebody looking for the phone number, sending that out now. But other than that, no phone calls, Father. You got an odd or God?
I don't know. I mean, it's almost like everything's an odd or God, you know? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I know.
There were some good ones last night, Tuesday night, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it almost gets to the point now, like you say, where you know everything that happens in life is God. And you know sometimes they really jump out where it looks like it's really a coincidence, yeah. But you know we know better. And you know it's funny, I'm not sure if odd or God originated with you, but the number of folks and areas that it spread to over time probably is not only at the Calyx meeting but the radio work and what have you, that people all over the place that'll say to me, you know, is that odd or is that God?
Yeah. You know, I first heard that from Joe Call.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said that to me, odd or God, and it resonated with me, and I kept saying it.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, odd or God, even the mishaps in life. You know, Jesus is saying, thank me for them, because Amen. The graces follow right after.
That's right.
But if we hoot and howl and complain and bellyache, we miss that divine visitation of his grace. But you begin to see God in everything, even the especially in the crosses of life, how he prunes us and transforms us into his very image and likeness. As the little flower said, it's all grace, it's all God.
Yeah. Well, we got Frank on the line. He decided to call. Hello, Frank.
How you doing?
All right. How you making out?
I can hardly hear you, Ken.
I'm good. How are you making out?
Not good. I mean, I called you 2 weeks ago. You said I sounded good. I did while I talked to you, but I was holding it in. Just a lot of I get ups and downs with all my medical problems. The last 2 weeks have been kind of rough. I'm not drinking. Not even thinking about it. I'm grateful. Very grateful for that.
Amen.
And Captain Lou, you both know him. He's wonderful. I talked to him this morning. He's been helping me a lot these last 2 weeks. And I forgot to tell you, next time you see Captain Lou, I have two nicknames for you, for him. Is it okay to tell you?
Sure, as long as they're not too far out there.
No, they're good.
Okay.
I call him the Pope from Packard Park and the Mayor of South Philly.
Very good. Very good.
You guys should have a switchboard operator. I can't believe people are calling left and right. I enjoy listening to both of you when I remember it's Wednesday. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you so much for just saying what you're saying. Even if no one calls in, I guarantee you mean something to somebody at that given moment. I really appreciate all your help over the years. I really appreciate it, guys.
Nice.
Thanks a lot. The last time I called, I did hang up. I didn't know if our dog wanted to say something, so I was disconnecting. Not this guy. I hung up by accident. I thought we were done.
Yeah.
So I apologize for our dog.
Yeah, that's okay, Frank. I actually forget. I think I wanted to compliment you, really. And thank you for calling.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you kind of have a setback physically. But we were just talking about, you know, how God is always present to us and how he comes to us even in the mishaps of life and even in our crosses, and especially our crosses. Because
right.
He always brings a greater good. It humbles us. We don't always see it. I mean, it's easy for me to say this to you. I'm not the one suffering like you are. But God is always present to you, Frank, and he loves you so much. And I hear the Lord speaking through you, you know, to us. And as you said, people are listening out there. They're hearing you too, you know, and the cross you carry, and you're encouraging people, you know, because I know you're one of those victim souls. You've been suffering ever since, for years when Captain Moop first introduced us to one another. But I did like that, Frank, the Pope of Packard Park and the Mayor of South Philly, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait,
it's,
do I feel?
It's also...
Thanks for that information, Frank.
I had it on your station on with the chaplain on the first at 3 o'clock, and I dozed off. I woke up just 10 minutes ago. But you're talking about St. Augustine.
Yep.
Many years ago, I'm not sure how long, like 15, 20 years ago, Lou was trying to tell me that story. Because I was bad with the drink. I mean, the booze had control of me more than anything else, as all of us drunks it does at one point. And it was ironic that you mentioned him today, St. Augustine. But like it says, if he can make it, we all can make it. And like I said, thanks again for you and Ken. We like listening to you, even if no one calls in. It's helping someone out there, guarantee. And that one, thanks again. Have a good day, Father Doug and Ken. Thanks again.
All right.
Thanks, Frank. God
thanks,
bless
Frank.
You.
You're in our prayers, pal. All right.
Yeah,
and
soul.
Yeah, and you're going to recognize this voice when she comes on. Where'd she go? They hit the wrong one? Carol.
Hey, Father Doug.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, what am I, chopped liver?
Huh?
Am I chopped liver?
No, you're not chopped liver.
Okay.
I finally called in.
It's good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, really, I'm still fighting these cigarettes, Father.
Oh, I know you are, and I've been praying for you and praying
over
you.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people are listening now, maybe they can say a prayer for you, getting all these prayers to quit these cigarettes, because you're always coughing, and choking. Yeah. And that's, you know, that nicotine in your lungs. And I,
yeah, I know.
You, I love and you so much. I want you to quit. All the money you're spending on cigarettes.
Yeah, $200 a week. That's a lot of money. I could be using that for something else, you know.
Got that right. You got that right.
And having trouble with this knee now because it's arthritis in it, and it's swollen back up on me. I think it's building up fluid again. Then I got the arthritis worse in my back, they told me. And my back's hurting me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You got a doctor's orders, Carol. I think the cigarettes certainly aren't helping anything. And I got to find a natural food store. I remember when I quit smoking almost 30 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And, what helped me was getting my hands on some licorice root, and I'll look around and see if I can find some for you.
Okay, but I need to suck on a lot of like horror candy and stuff like that, Father.
Yep.
I know.
Well, tomorrow when I get my check, I'm going to buy a bag or two of horror candy, like the chew one.
Yep.
Suck on, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. You get the lollipops, like Telly Savalas. It'll help you with, seriously, because it'll help you with your hand. You get so used to putting your hand up and back, you know, up to your mouth and back. So, you know, get some lollipops.
Yeah. And then again, Father, it's slowing down my energy. I'm pushing myself, Father, to do a lot of things because the smoking's slowing down my energy.
Yeah, well, you're detoxing from the nicotine. And here's the other thing that... when you say you're getting your check tomorrow, I like it when you're poor. But when you get your money, you'll be buying those cigarettes again. And sometimes you're bumming them and you can't smoke as many.
Yeah.
So
I think
you have cut back a lot. Now it's time to say no more.
Yeah, I think maybe give the check. Yeah, give me the check and then you won't have to worry about it.
Really?
All right,
we'll put you on. Yeah, we'll put you on an allowance. So, we're praying for you, Carol. We want you to, we probably want you to quit more than you want to quit, but only because we know how much better you're going to feel when it happens. So, hang in there, kid.
Because I know I'll feel much better.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm pushing my energy around.
Yeah. You hang in there. We'll keep praying for you, for our listeners. This is Carol on the line. She lives with the ministry and can use your prayers, so... If you could keep her in prayer for going forward, that she finds a way to put down the cigarettes, we'd certainly appreciate it. All right, Carol, thanks, dear. We appreciate the call.
Thank you very much. God bless. I love you.
Yeah, you too, Carol.
Carol, are you still there?
Yeah, she's there.
Yeah, I'm still here, Father.
I just wanted to say, I smoked. And it wasn't hard for me to quit. I quit 1,000 times. But I couldn't quit. When Lent would come, I would quit. And then go right back to them. And then I said to myself, what do I like the most, cigarettes or God? I love God more than the cigarettes. And it's
you're right about that, Father.
You got to love God more. And you got to get the grace from him. You can't do it yourself.
I know.
Gates of heaven, Lord, give me the strength and the grace that's not my own. Put down these cigarettes that are killing me.
And I keep praying that God will let me let them go, you know.
The temple of the Holy Spirit.
I'm praying hard on it.
Yeah. All right, well, you keep praying. We've got our prayer warriors on it now, and I think I think your success is right around the corner.
Okay, thank you. I hope it is.
Yep. All right, God bless.
Carol.
All right, God bless. Love you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know she's been trying it. It's so hard.
Yep.
You know, like Matt Talbot, we know with Matt Talbot, you know, that the pipe was harder to give up. The tobacco was harder to give up than the alcohol.
Yeah, no, it was for me too. And then I couldn't put them down as long as the alcohol was in my life. And then it was, I'll never forget, my mother got diagnosed with emphysema, and I just had this vision of me in a casket, you know, dying from smoking, and that was enough to push me over the hump. And I never forget, you know, great guy Mike, who I knew in meetings, he found out that I was quitting, and he went to the natural food place and he got me licorice root, and it's literally, you know, twigs of a plant that it tasted like black licorice. But the little twigs were about 8 inches long. I'd snap them in half, so it was like the length of a cigarette, and just chew on it. And they took care of that fixation of with your hand having to do something. You know, it's like now I wear glasses. And there's times where I poke myself in the eye because I'm so used to pushing my glasses up that when I don't have them on, I do it anyway. And then I jab myself in the eye because there's no glasses there to stop my finger. Yeah. So it's, the mechanics of what we do in life become so habitual that, sometimes that's hard to break as the whatever it is that we're actually trying to stop.
Yeah, Matt Talbot would put pebbles in his mouth, and keep his mind off the cigarettes. But yeah, Carol, you hear her coughing all the time. I can just see her lungs being rigged with the nicotine. She's a chain smoker.
And
I always say to her, Ken, it's not the cough that carries you off. It's the coughing that are going to carry you off, and you don't give up those cigarettes.
Absolutely. And like she said, the money that you spend today, I know when she and Kathy had COVID, and I asked them if they needed anything, and they said Carol could use a pack of cigarettes. I went around the corner, and it was $14. I think when I quit, it was $3 a pack.
God.
And I can't imagine paying that kind of money these days. But anyway, the phone calls are starting to light up, and we're going to go to Robbie. Hello, Robbie.
Oh, hey, Ken. Hey, Father Doug. How you guys doing? You okay?
Yeah, we're
good.
Hey,
Robbie. Good. Hey, thanks for the broom and the shovel.
Yeah. Tomorrow you're getting a broom. Stuff just keeps falling off the back of the truck. I can't help it.
Oh, yeah. Kathy told me you got the stuff, and I'm wondering what Father's up to. What do you need a bucket and shovel and a broom for?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask him.
Yeah. What are you up to, Father?
Clean up around the properties.
Yeah. Nah, especially, I noticed when it rains like that, you get all the trash, especially on top of the storm drains. But anyway, what's on your mind, Robbie?
I just wanted to call in to touch base with you guys, man. It's been a while, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I want to thank you for everything you do for Katie and all with the prayers and all.
Yeah.
I mean, that helps me get through a lot of days, you know, because you feel so hopeless and helpless sometimes, Ken and Father, you know what I mean? Like the doctor's telling us this, telling us that, and my hands are tied. So the only thing I got is prayers, you know, and we just had a little scare last week, but I'm not going to get into all that. Everything's good now, you know. And it's just that these guys helped me out so much. I just had to touch base with you and let you know that, you know. And I can't tell you enough. Like, you helped me get through a lot of days where I'm painted into a corner, it seems like, you know. And I'm going to keep trucking, and I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep showing up. Shrine.
There you go. And
just follow your guys' lead. That's all. You know what I mean? These guys had to show me how to do all this. And I still got the training wheels on with the whole guy thing, but my heart's in the right place with them. You know what I mean? And I believe today. And that's that's a big thing for me, because I never believed. You know, he wasn't doing me no good. God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But today I realize, I think back, he was looking out for me the whole time. I just didn't realize it, you know, being caught up and all.
Yeah. So for our listeners,
came a long way, Robbie. You came a long way by God's grace.
Amen.
Yeah.
And for our listeners,
time I thought I was lucky. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm lucky. I'm lucky. No, it was him looking out for me the whole time.
Yeah. You're not lucky. You're blessed.
Amen.
Yeah. You ain't kidding.
For our listeners, Robbie's a fixture there at our Matt Talbot Shrine on his lunch hour on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can see the impact that it's had, you know, having been doing it for, I don't know, a year now, Rob?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And we got a bunch of prayer warriors that listen to us on Wednesdays, Rob, and so I'd ask those same warriors where we asked you for your prayers for Carol and getting off the cigarettes. We ask you to keep Robbie's daughter Katie in your prayers. She's got some health issues going on as well, and pray that she gets what she needs and gets it sooner rather than later.
Also, your cousin Kellyanne, Pat's sister. You know,
they told me earlier. Yeah. Don't stop.
We must go to God. We must go to God. We're not in control, like you said. I feel inadequate. You know, we're helpless.
Right. So. I know the answer ain't running around the streets no more. I know that much. I tried that enough.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I ran with the devil long enough.
Yeah.
Well,
I ain't got it. You know, I just want to. I want to grab a cup of coffee and a prayer book and go to church. That's all I want to do today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's all I want.
I don't want no crazy stuff or nothing. That don't happen. You know what I mean? Because man, I could go on and on, but how grateful I am. You know, truly blessed I am not to wake up tomorrow morning and have to go ahead out there and pound the payments trying to get the next one.
Yeah.
Feels so good, you know, to live like this.
Amen. It's great to have you on the
I'll
team,
never
brother.
Want to go backwards.
Yeah. Nah, it's great to have you on the team. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yep. Okay, right. Gang. Yo, I love you guys, man. All right, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.
Hey Robbie. I hear all your wants, but I know somebody else who wants something really bad.
He's tired of doing the commercials.
He's in the corner doing push-ups, waiting for an opportunity to pounce on you. So resist him, solid in your faith.
Yeah. All right, Rob. We appreciate the call, brother. We'll see you tomorrow.
Later, Rob.
You take care of yourselves, okay?
All right. Bye-bye now.
All right, later.
Ken, moral miracles.
Yep. And we got another one on the line. Is this the Wolfman? Hey, Butch. Butch. Pick up the phone, brother. I wonder if he set it down.
Yeah, anyway.
Hey, Butch.
We'll go back to Augustine.
Yeah.
And he'll call back. Is he still on the line?
Nah, it sounds like it, but I don't hear him.
Yeah, he gets distracted. Earth to Butchie. Come in, Butchie.
All right, I think he's back on hold. We'll leave him there until he's heard again.
Yeah.
So, Augustine.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, he had two drives in his life, lust and the truth. And the truth got stronger, Ken. But all these wonderful, you know, in his confessions, I often think about it, you know, in the seminary, and in my own youth, and I could relate to what he was saying, that when he first started out, it was like stealing pears from a pear tree. And it wasn't so much to steal pears and eat them, but it was the thrill and the excitement that he got from wanting to steal the pears. And then he speaks about this beast within him, that we all have a beast, and that beast needs to be tamed. And it can only be tamed by grace. And sometimes we're always putting this grace off. And Augustine would say, Lord, I want to be chaste, but not yet. Not yet. It's always that last hurrah, you know, Ken? But that beast, he said, his friends took him to an arena for their lions, you know, to eat the Christians. And he said, well, I just want look. And yet he said, there was something in me that I had a peek, I had a look. And then I saw the blood of the Christians. And then I said, stop it. And I related to that because I would see, you know, as a kid, watch the boxing matches. And one guy would look real cocky. And I would say, get that guy. And the other guy would start pouncing on him. I could see him bleeding. Stop the fight. It's like that beast within us that needs to be tamed. But also, you know, he has such a love for the Trinity. And down at St. Augustine's in the Ocean City, they have this beautiful painting of Augustine sitting on the beach. And it's this little boy coming up with a bucket, and Augustine's meditating on the Trinity, trying to understand the Holy Trinity. And this little boy is taking the bucket of water and putting it by Augustine in a hole. And he's back and forth. He's distracting Augustine. And Augustine says to the little boy, what are you trying to do there, sonny? He said, well, I'm trying to take that ocean there and put it in this hole. And St. Augustine said, you'll never do that. And the little boy said, I'll do that before you understand the Holy Trinity. Here, I guess it was his guardian angel, but just the mystery of the Holy Trinity, and that God is everywhere. I remember the professor writing his analogy of God being present in all things. The professor put a big sponge, drew a big sponge on the board, and then he said, and God is like the vast sea, permeating every part of the sponge. But God is in all things, or they wouldn't even be. But last night we talked about Augustine, Ken, if you remember, when we were talking about humility, Sunday's past gospel.
That's right.
And St. Augustine said that the three most important virtues are humility, humility, and humility. And he defines humility by saying, knowing that I am totally dependent upon God for everything. That's being humble. I'm dependent upon God for everything. I'm so weak, and humility is to God give God permission to be my strength and to be my life. And we're talking about, like, humility comes really from the ground, from humus. And you think of humanity, you know, to be human. You know, Adam and Eve came from the clay, from the ground, and that we need to be grounded, to be humble, to know I'm a creature and God is the creator. And the way I was saying last night, it was, you know, it's just crying out to God. And, you know, when you get so proud-hearted and you get knocked down, you're grounded. And we're always going to get knocked down. I said there's two kinds of people in the world, those who are humble and those who are about to be humbled. And you know, when we're constantly hit with these crosses, they humble us. They humiliate us. It's like we're being struck by lightning. But that's okay. If we're humble, we're grounded. And we can experience God lifting us up, protecting us, watching over us, every step and heartbeat along the way, Ken. But I have a last story of Augustine. Did Butch call back?
I don't think so. Nope.
Okay. Well, here's a good story. I always like this story. That Augustine was in the marketplace, and it's kind of crowded, and his old mistress sees him, and she begins to follow him and chase after him, and he walks faster, seeing her faster, and the mistress is hollering out, Augustine, Augustine, and he walks faster. She catches up to him, Augustine, it is I, it is I. And Augustine turns over so slightly and says, but it is no longer I. You know, and I always love that story because it reminds me of St. Paul. I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. I no longer play a primary role in my life. I play a secondary role. God plays the first. And there's so much, really, to St. Augustine. You know, so much more to him. But what a saint, you know, what a philosopher, what a theologian, what a mystic, what a poet, what a writer, an orator. What a priest, a bishop, and a saint, Ken, all rolled into one in Augustine.
Amen. Just in 30 seconds before we go to your blessing, Father, just a reminder, I forgot to do this after the break. You know, the Catholic Society, Father and I get together on Tuesday nights in Grace Ferry, beginning at 6 o'clock at the Matt Talbot Chapel, the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We're over in the church, St. Gabriel's Church, on the third Tuesday. But come on down. We have... a little adoration period, and then Mass, and then a Calyx meeting, all but that third Tuesday. The third Tuesday is a holy hour from 6 to 7, and then Mass at 7 o'clock in the church. The other unit that's meeting this week is up at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month, so they'll be getting together tomorrow night, September 1st. Will be the first Thursday of this month, 7 o'clock. In the Parish Center. Go up and see my good friend Tom Gallagher. So those are the main ones. We can talk about the other units next week, as they don't meet between now and then.
Yeah, today is overdose deaths.
Overdose Awareness Day.
Yeah, Overdose Awareness Day.
Yes.
And so, you know, we remember all those who have died from overdoses, right?
Amen. Yeah, and you know, attempt at prevention. Like I watched that Hazelden webinar today, 107,000 last year, more than half of which was due to fentanyl. And, you know, it's not getting any better. They actually said that the average life expectancy in the United States has dropped by 3 years as a result.
Yeah.
So
you said one every 5 minutes in the United States. And
that's
we
right.
just heard two here. yeah. you know, in the last week.
Yeah.
But so, it goes on and on.
Amen.
But yeah, for the blessing to pray for all those who have lost their lives and family members who suffer right along with them. And my brother, Anthony, he died from an overdose. But also those who were asking for prayers for Katie and Kelly and for Carol, for Frank. We pray for all those who are listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, God, our Father, we all belong to you. So bless this whole world of ours, especially those who lost their lives in overdose deaths. And for our callers, for Katie, for Kelly, and Carol, Frank, and for this radio ministry that helps us to reach out and touch so many hearts by your powers and your grace through our voices. So, Lord, just ask that you bless us all right now. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Ken, bless everyone.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back. Our guest, Peter DePalma, is already on the line, and we'll get at it as soon as we come back. Don't go away.